Welcome to episode 7, Orale Bo Heights. Coming at you from Espacio on radioespacio.org. If you're listening on Radio Espacio, you're super dope because you must not have something to do today. And you're listening to this show for some reason. And if you're the few folks that are listening via Stitcher, Google Music, or iTunes, or Audio Boom, shout out to y'all. And then special shout out to the folks who have been like telling me in person as like I run into them that, you know, you're really liking the show. You're liking what I'm doing. And, you know, you're complimenting me on it, which is making me, like, blush. But then I'm like, cool. That means I'm going in the right direction. So I appreciate that. Today, special guest, super duper awesome guest, like always. Why don't y'all introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name's Andy Soj. I'm part of Nisantas.
Hi, my name's Joan. I'm part of Nisantas, too.
I'm Clover, and I'm also part of Nisantas.
Awesome. So you heard it. We have the folks from Nisantas. I wrote this down because I didn't want to like just do it off the top of my head. So as it is on their Instagram bio, which you can find at @ni_santas. And I think that's the only space y'all are in, no?
We're on Facebook. We're hardly there because it's like a dinosaur. So I don't think...
So if like folks would want to find it on Facebook, it would just be like Nisantas.
There's a like page. We should try to be more active on there, but honestly... Instagram is where we're mostly at.
Yeah, cool. No, I saw you have like more than 10,000 followers now, which I was like, damn, that's awesome.
It's a lot of support.
Yeah,
we felt like kind of overwhelmed by the amount of support we're getting at a short amount of time, so we felt like the pressure. But at the same time, it's really cool to see like the people who are following us. They're just like us.
Yeah. I think you can recognize when somebody's like, oh, that's the homie.
Yeah, exactly.
So as their bio says, Women of Color Art Collective, creating safe space, rewriting their stories through socially conscious art while promoting sisterhood and skill sharing or via skill sharing. So mm-hmm. Awesome. So we already started getting a little bit into it, but talking about the collective, Nisantas, how did they get started? I think I was like creeping through the Instagram and like earliest post I saw or the first one was from like 2016, right?
Yeah, so August. It's
more or less almost 2 years now.
Yeah. So it started, like about 2 years ago during the summer. My friend and I were kind of in and out of LA. And once we kind of reestablished ourselves back at home, we realized we wanted to create art, but with other women, specifically with other women of color.
Of course.
And to talk about issues that we were facing. So she would come over. Her name is Melissa. She was part of the collective for a while. And she would come over my house. I had extra paint that I had accumulated because I hadn't had time since I was traveling. And we would be painting random, like hippie earthy kind of stuff,
but then we were just having
fun more than anything. We didn't want to put too much pressure on it.
It wasn't for like a gallery show or anything. No. This is just something y'all were doing almost like for therapy. Like,
I had a panel in my backyard. I had extra spray paint and we just went at it. And then we kept doing it so often that, you know, one afternoon we were just like kicking back and we're like, you know, we should invite more women, because I remember Joan was the first one that was like TFTI or some, you know,
I don't remember that
emo stuff like that.
She's I did
like,
not say that
something like that.
I thought it though.
Yeah,
it was like TIGS. I don't even know some of the acronyms
are getting too advanced for me. We thought like, okay, someone's showing some interest, and then another person, and so we're like, okay, let's invite some more women of color. And I was already part of Ovarian Cycle, so it was kind of like becoming in my nature to kind of...
You already like helped create another space.
Yeah.
Kind of doing the similar work, but you know, I think, well, I remember correctly, with the OVAs, it was the bicycle was the vehicle or the tool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, it came natural to me to be using art as the vehicle or as the tool now. So I love organizing with the OVAs, but I realized that my first love was art, so it was like a very natural transition for me to do an all women of color art collective, because there's a bunch of them. There's Mujeres de Maiz, you know.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time.
They've been a long time, and that's awesome. But I also felt like I wanted something different for maybe like a younger generation, or at least
No, there's an age gap. I mean, they've been around like 15 plus years. They have like their own set, you know, structure, how they work, how folks are like, you know, introduced to the space, the work they do every year with like the conference and the art shows, you know. So, I mean, from the outside in, to try to be a part of that, it's a little more intimidating.
Yeah.
You know, where you like, you have established artists who are like, you know, shown in galleries, and they're like, a lot of folks in there are educators, you know, so I can understand that being intimidating.
Exactly. And that's awesome what they're doing, and I respect that. I felt like I wanted something a little less structured, but still retaining a little bit of the organizing element that I, you know, I kind of enjoy doing with the
Omas. And this is what you're familiar with, too.
Yeah. And it was just, I felt like after leaving the Omas, I'm like, oh, shit, what do I do now, you know?
I got all this free time.
Yeah. Like, I felt like something was missing from my life, and I was still friends with a lot of the old Omas, and I started becoming friends with new women. So the next question was, where are we going to organize out of, or where are we going to meet?
What's the next project?
Yeah, most of us live in small homes, or we don't have large spaces.
No.
So I was like, okay, I had already been working with Tuffle Graphics for about 5 years at the time. And I realized that there was some tension going on between the galleries and, you know, anti-gentrification movements. And I felt like my take on it was, if Tuffle Graphics is going to be some sort of a target, I want to be able to, like, do something about it in a proactive way. And I chose to take up space at Tuffle Graphics and invite more women who weren't part of that, I guess, like, circle, or who didn't have a safe space or the means to create.
No, we were talking about that before we started recording. You know, how y'all, each of y'all were introduced to self-help graphics at different points through all the different work they do. But, you know, all these roads are converging together for what organizing happens at self-help, in terms of, like, where it's formal, informal, then providing the space. And then let's get into that. That's why y'all, as Nisanta, started working out of self-help.
Yeah.
I mean, more than anything, they just opened the doors. This is like, yeah, here you go.
Yeah, they were very welcoming. Like I said, I had already been working with them. And to me, it was just very, it was like organic in the way that it all kind of developed.
Yeah.
I was like, I wanna start something. They opened up the doors. They would help us here and there with some materials. And we did our first call out. And well, first we decided, you know, what are we gonna name ourselves? What are we gonna name ourselves? And one of our friends was
kind of like formalizes.
Yeah, like, okay, we're gonna be about it. Let's do this the right way. And then so we were like, okay, what are we gonna name it? And one of our friends was like, she just kept going on, like, I want one of those Ni Santa Ni Puta Solo Mujer shirts.
Oh.
And she, and you know, with Ovarian Cycles, we had used it over and over and over. And I'm like, when she said that, I just, like, kind of, like, thought about it. I'm like, Nisantas. And I thought it was a great idea because of the religious reference, Nisantas.
Yeah, I mean, Joan's wearing the shirt. You can see the
with what, the rosary.
The rosary, yeah. The upside-down rosary.
Yeah.
It's because people thought we were actually, like, a Catholic...
like, youth group?
Yeah.
Yeah, these girls are getting into Jesus.
So we didn't want to confuse people.
It was like Black Sabbath in there.
Yeah.
So that was the first part, Ni Santas, Ni Putas, because...
And that's messaging that's, like, been at the forefront, and, like, if I'm remembering correctly, like, anti-femicide movements in, like, Latin America, especially in Juarez, you know, because everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if folks aren't familiar with that, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, to me, my take on the word puta is it's...
It's the same here, like, in the U.S. Like, people are, like, changing the meaning, you know, owning it, like, taking it back. Like, and I know other folks are, like, a lot of other artists are using that slut to be like, no, it's something different than what you're trying to, like, say with it.
Exactly. We don't want to slut shame or anything like that. I honestly, like, there's this beautiful saying that my old roommate used to say. She's like, la que no es puta no disfruta. And I'm like... This is so awesome. This is my next shirt. But, you know, all these things, you know, slut shaming and...
Yeah, I mean, that's why there's a slut walk.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, you know, I've been to it. It wasn't my cup of tea, but, like, you know, it's on the west side.
It's a little white.
It's a little bright, yeah. So, so there's the Ni Puta part and Mujeres. Solo Mujer, because we just want to exist. That's... That's all we want to do. We just want to make art. We want to, like, take up space. We want to...
Yeah, not be harassed the way... We, yeah. I mean, not yeah. speaking for y'all, but I mean, that's... Well, again, kind of what we were kind of getting into a little bit before we started recording about, you know, the larger societal structures, machismo, like, especially, like, in Latin community. Mm-hmm. Well, I should say Latinx.
It's funny you say that, because, yeah, it's definitely one of the reasons why we needed a space. Because we want to be able to spray paint specifically... somewhere where we wouldn't be harassed by the cops or by men.
Or, like, get, you know, high from the fumes.
Yeah, exactly. High from the fumes. You know, these girls want to learn how to do graffiti because that was our main focus at the beginning. And we thought, we don't want to catch a case. Like,
yeah.
We want to, like, we're down for that, but that's going to be maybe, like, a low-key part of Nisantas.
That's going to, like, really throw things off.
Yeah. So we decided to just keep it somewhere contained. Where mothers could just bring their daughters and feel comfortable bringing them to a place to learn graffiti.
Yeah, that's what Tough Hub's all about.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that speaks volumes to y'all, that self-help as an institution would trust y'all to, like, here are the keys, you know, lock up when you're done. Because mm-hmm. I've been there, you know, I don't have that same level of trust, but I've volunteered there for years. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not a stranger there. And I know that if you're not paying attention, you can just walk away with, like, $1,000, like...
Don't be giving people right. ideas. No, they have cameras now.
Oh, they have cameras.
They have cameras. Yeah.
All right, so the space is getting upgraded.
Yeah. Don't try it.
Don't even... No.
Honestly, they tried breaking in, and someone came through with, like, a forensic fucking kit try to get...
CSI on them.
Fingerprints. Yeah, so don't try it.
So, you should take that
But, yeah, I think it would be interesting to hear, like, how they
yes.
kind of know about self-help graphics.
Well, I used to live... I've lived all over, like, L.A. Like, mm-hmm. L.A. County, San Fernando Valley. Like, I used to move around every other year. So, I lived everywhere.
I understand that my parents were looking for work when I was younger. So, mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, I lived in Pacoima, too.
Yeah, I used to live in Panorama City, Sun Valley, Bell Gardens, everywhere. Like, I used to live by General Hospital.
Were you always the new kid at school, too?
Yes. It's horrible. It's horrible, but in the same time, it makes you, like, not appreciate. Maybe, like, you...
It gives you a different perspective.
You rotate friends, and when people, like, say goodbye, you're like... I guess I'll find a different version of
and
you.
And this is when, like, way before, like, social media. So it's like, if you didn't, like, have somebody's phone number, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
And you're like, good yeah. luck trying to find them.
Yeah. So yeah, I moved everywhere. I used to live, and then I used to live right by the old self help, like, in that same block.
Gage and Chavez.
Yes, it was like 3-4 houses down. So I used to, like,
like, no se callan.
Yeah. No, but to me, I was always obsessed with, like, Day of the Dead. And, like, I remember dragging my sister. Like, I was 15 years old, and that was, like, God.
Wait. What kind of God, though? Like, Depeche Mode, Tim Burton?
No.
Like Slipknot, Marilyn Manson.
The Marilyn Manson. Green Day.
Hot Topic.
I was right there, yo. I was right there.
Hot Topic at the Montebello Mall.
Yeah. Take the 68.
The 68, yes.
Or the Scream. No.
Oh, yes, yeah, Scream.
Red Zone. Yeah. Red Zone downtown.
Oh. Yeah. So I used to live a couple blocks down there, and then I just dragged my sister along to one of their, like, Day of the Dead things. And so, yeah, I just, like, always known about self-help. And then I went away to college, and then I met another friend. And right before it closed, I was able to participate in an art show there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, it was one of the last shows there.
Was it a solo show, or were you, like, one of the artists in the show?
I was one of the artists in the show. Okay. So it was really cool that they even allowed that back then. Like, I'm still friends with her. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. And it was really sad when they lost the building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I wasn't able to do anything because I was in San Francisco. But it was just, like, this whole...
Yeah. No, I mean, everybody got caught off guard when that happened.
Yeah. So, but it was really cool that they were able to reopen again. So, because most places just die.
No.
So, the fact that they even opened up again, so yeah. that was pretty cool.
I mean, folks have criticized them for, like, getting help from the city. But, I mean, the way the situation is right now... You know, if you try to find space anywhere, you're looking to the 100,000s, the millions, mm-hmm. especially when you need large space like that for galleries, for open, like, you know, art outside, yeah. to put on performances. And, like, and they've done amazing space with Yeah. They've done amazing with that space.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, so all those years happened, and then I got, I was also part of the OBUS, and then she left, and then we needed a poster done. So we reached out to her to help us print this huge poster.
Do you remember for what it was?
For Clear All Mass.
Of course.
Of course. And then we printed that poster, and then that's when La Concha used to be right next to it. So.
Oh, that's right.
So we used to have events right there, and then I used to just go hop over and help. So this was the whole summer thing. Like, it was all transitioning, happening, and.
Nice.
All three things happened.
That's dope.
I remember also, like, us as always going to Salvo Graphics and printing t-shirts and.
Yeah.
And always having, like, a pretty healthy relationship, so I thought.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to be right kind of next to each other.
It's literally like you cross the street, you're there.
Yeah, exactly. So, and before that, it was the Centro de Comunicación Comunitario.
With Marcos. Who helped get Radio Espacio, before it was Radio Espacio, started here.
It's all connected.
Yes. It's like... my girlfriend was telling me it's a small rancho here.
It is.
Your girlfriend from New York?
She's from the Bronx.
Yeah, she's cool.
She just don't tell me that. So, Clover, what about you?
I heard about self-help through shows. So when I was in high school, I went to a ska core about 10 years ago.
I just went to one last summer.
That was the first and last one I went to.
Really?
Yeah, it's not.
Well, I mean, depending which ones you go to, because if you go to Ska Wars, that's like nuts. But I went to like one where they have it at the in Southgate.
Oh,
at that, what is it? That Veterans Hall. So it's like more small.
I guess because of the bands, I just really went to go see like Red Store Bums and Chencha.
And that's who I saw, Red Store Bums.
And but that's the first time I went over there to that other spot. But I would see flyers when I was in school and when I was taking the silk screening class about events that they would have, but I just never checked it out. And then their first meeting, my friend sent me the flyer, but I wasn't able to go up until their second meeting. Then I started going to self-help, and I've been going there, meeting with them, and working with self-help too ever since.
So little by little.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now I like find myself there half the time.
Here
in Boyle Heights.
And yeah. Do you live in Boyle Heights? Or
no, I don't. I live in South Central.
Yeah, what's up? And see, I appreciate folks who still say South Central, because most of the folks that I talk to, because of the nonprofit that I work in, and especially myself, I feel like I have to say South LA.
Oh. No, because there's a difference.
There is a difference.
I jump in this.
No, because like if I say South Central, people are going to like think... like. Oh. No, because I live right next to Huntington Park.
Oh, okay. So you're like by the border.
There is a big difference. Like, you could tell that there's a big difference in neighborhoods. Like, I don't want to claim something I'm not. Like, because I worked in South Central, and it's totally different than living in South LA, living right next to Huntington Park. Like, I don't want people to think something that I'm not. Like, I don't like lying to people. You know, I'm Southeast LA, and not even like Dewey makes fun of me, like, oh, you're from Huntington Park, and it's just like, no, I'm not. But I did go to Huntington Park High School.
Yeah, no, so I my dad was one of those pirata taxis. So I used to hang out in Pacific and Florence all the time with them too.
Yeah.
Before all that shit went crashing down.
My dad would like he lives in Southgate now, but he always went from like Wanna Park to like HP.
Yeah,
like, in that area.
I mean, it's basically the South. I mean, folks usually don't even pay attention to that either. Yeah.
But I feel like it's very different than living in East LA. It's a very different vibe.
It is.
It's a total different vibe. And then I feel like when, like, drama gets here super crazy, like, I feel like we could just go home and be just like, peace. Like,
there's no drama out there.
There is no drama out there. I'm like, wow.
Going over the bridge, like.
Bye, I'm taking the blue line home. Like, you guys figure it out. Like,
you can find me at Tierra Mia.
Yeah. No.
You know, I was there for a meeting, and I was like, damn, I missed that arcade, that underground arcade that was on Saturn.
Yeah.
Because, you would pay, $3, and it was, super sweaty, and I just, spend, half the day in there.
Yeah.
And then I would go across the street and get a torta ahogada.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we recently went to La Boom. We even invited you, remember? You're like, no.
That's right.
No.
I'm going to go to La Potrero.
Yeah.
But isn't, some other spots? Oh, that's the other one that people have been telling me about, because it's like on the outskirts of like Southgate Huntington Park is that bar Novocaine.
Oh yeah, I haven't.
Is it?
The girl went to HB and claims to like not know anyone, and my sister knows her, and she's like, I don't remember anybody from back then.
I'm too good.
Yeah, I'm too good. I'm at the edge of HB. Yeah. So.
All right, but I think you kind of got into this a little bit already, Andy. This whole point of contention, you know, if folks are listening to this show, either because they're listening because I'm so awesome or because y'all are here, you know, folks understand that there's blato, there's beef between like the Fanbowl Heights, calling out all that section, like industrial area of the, you know, Bowl Heights, where all these new art galleries are popping up, and of course Self-Help Graphics being one of them. Like, how do you feel, you know, that those tensions are like kind of, are they affecting like what y'all are doing, making you kind of question like being at that space? Because I know you said you were intentional about being there too, and that's mostly speaking to your history about being there. Mm-hmm. You were an instructor working with the youth, you've been there like for 5+ years, and you have like that really deep trust with them.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I'd be lying if I said that doesn't affect me about what's going on with Defend Boy Heights. Mm-hmm. And Self-Help Graphics. I've been, you know, I know folks from both, you know, both
sides
very well. And it's, I feel like, oh my God, is she going to talk to me today? You know, she, like,
that's kind of like walking on eggshells kind of thing. Yeah.
It is. And it's a horrible feeling, especially me saying that. It's like, even makes me right now, like, I'm sweating. You know,
yeah.
I'm
sticky. No, I mean, it's, I've been having different conversations with folks, and it's flat out, it's anxiety. Just because, you know, we are all supposed to be in struggle with each other. Yeah. And even though we're all taking different routes, we're all fighting for one form of liberation or another, where it's through a nonprofit or, you know, through other means. But at the end of the day, we don't want to see folks displaced. We want to see folks to stay here. We want improvements in the community for the community, and not, like, you know, see Bowl Heights get shades of white.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, it does affect me, but I also felt like, it was I took it also as a challenge. As in, like, how am I going to handle something like this? Am I going to fall?
It's confrontation, yeah.
Am I going to fall into, you know, the plato? Am I going to, like, engage in these internet wars? Or am I just going to, like, show my actions speak for themselves? Mm-hmm. And I'm not one to, no soy peleonera. My mom would, every time my cousin would beat me up, she'd be like, hit her back or I'm going to hit you back.
Oh, shit.
And I still wouldn't do it, you know? But I fight in my own way. And
yeah,
my fight is, I think, the right fight. And that's, like, fighting for the youth to come and occupy a space.
Creating that space. It's super needed.
Exactly. So, in my mind, I'm like, nothing is going to stop me. If I don't organize here, it's going to be twice as hard to try to organize elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I off the top of my head, I can't think of any other space where I can go to, and it's like kind of like a cheer situation where everybody knows your name and you're welcome, and you know, obviously y'all have a deeper relationship, and you can work out of there and create. You know, I'm usually just there for meetings and hanging out or like volunteering,
yeah.
But like, to think that if I can go to any other space like that, like, nothing comes to mind.
Exactly, and although Self-Help Graphics has been like known to nurture all kinds of artists, all ages,
mm-hmm.
All types of ethnicities, actually, I felt that there was, like, yeah, there's spaces for women, but specifically to make art, there wasn't that many that you could just show up, take a free class, everything will be provided. I didn't see that.
No.
It's really rare. And you know what? Organizing with a bunch of female POC artist, I didn't know what I was getting into. I'm like, it's gonna be easy. It's just gonna be like, it's like, yeah, we're just gonna, I thought it was gonna be like my previous collective that I was part of, like, get on a bike and go somewhere.
We're gonna make this happen.
And that's it. No, I had no idea there was gonna be, like, not only are we more creative, more sensitive, more, like, in tune with, like, I feel with, I don't know how to explain that, but.
No, artists are different.
They're different, but not only that, there's also, like, okay, how are we going to get paint? Who's going to teach this class?
The more logistical things.
All the logistics were, like,
and, like, whose name's going to go first?
Who's
going to get credit?
Who's getting credit?
Who took the picture. Who decided that color? Yeah.
And you know, we've been very good about learning. Like,
so you didn't tag me on that Instagram post. Yeah, yo, yeah. What's up?
Yeah. I hate saying this, but yeah, it's little things like that that.
No, I mean, and that's kind of like learning. The stuff that folks don't see, you know, from the outside in. You know, when y'all are presenting this stuff on Instagram, it's like, damn, they're having like a lot of fun. They're making amazing art. You know, they're promoting like the next show or like, you know, if you saw them on Instagram, they're working with Peace Over Violence for Denim Day. But then like that's the stuff that nobody realizes. Like it takes hours of like relationship building and being on the same page to be like, yeah, you know, I invented these two. I just completely forgot.
Exactly. And we're not getting paid.
No.
So it's even harder for these girls to show up. Some of the girls were coming from Long Beach. Shout out to SB. She would come on the bus. She would
from
like
Long Beach. From damn. Long,
and so to me it was like
that's commitment.
That's commitment. Not only that, like we gotta get our shit together because these girls are busting missions to come and experience something. And if we're not following through, it's like what are we doing wrong? But then I try not to beat myself up about it or beat up the other girls because we're still kind of learning 2 years into it. We're still trying to figure out what the hell we're doing. No,
and it's that understanding. You're coming from Long Beach. I can understand if you're going to be late.
Yeah. So we did have a lot of girls that were like, we just want to make art, you know. We don't care about making money. And you know what? That's awesome. But there's also these other group of women that are really struggling and need funds to just even show up. Yeah. So how can we make this a more sustainable collective where we will actually get paid to...
And it's not a sacrifice.
Yeah. So to get paid for what we love doing. And we're not always going to demand pay, but that's what we're learning. Like, Joan could probably speak more better on this, on the statistics of how badly we're paid as women of color.
Oh, you want to focus in terms of like society or in terms of the arts?
Art, both. I mean, both.
Either one sucks.
I mean, both suck.
But like also not just getting paid, but also the fact that we're like autonomous from self-help. Like we're like self-help.
Let's make that clear.
Yeah, we're not a program. Like self-help doesn't get a grant to like pay us or like give us supplies.
Or food or host us.
Like they provide the space, but we have to provide our own supplies. Like they did help out with supplies in the beginning a lot.
Get it off the ground.
Yeah, getting it off the ground. But eventually they were just like, you know, you spend a lot of time here. Like it's time for you guys. Like, to like bring in your own stuff.
Your parent has it together. Yeah, like, yo, together. Man, you're
it's
25. Like, I think
it's
you gotta get out of here.
It's free, like you know. So we had to come up with money too to buy our own supplies,
which ain't
like,
cheap either.
Yeah, they're not cheap either.
That's
so we
the
had
reason
to come
that
up
spray
with...
paint's locked up.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So we. Yeah, it's just been like learning how to balance being capitalistic and because we gotta get paid, we gotta pay rent and shit's not free, and also have fun because I feel like the day it stopped being fun is the day like I personally will be leaving.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel the same way. A lot of the extracurricular stuff I do.
Yeah,
but no, I mean those are growing pains, you know. And I think one of the first shows y'all did was just exactly to beat that goal. To be more self-sustainable, right?
Yeah, the first show was like our 1 month anniversary, and I don't even know how we pulled that off. Well, I do know, but it's kind of like it took literally a village, like of our resources. You know, okay, who knows the DJ? Who knows like
asking for those favors?
Yeah, who can be at the door? Who can bring food? Who can be drinks? And
yeah, that's where that community
comes
in.
It was really beautiful
in.
How everybody's like, on top of things and how to create. The funding for what would be crucial to the rest of the year,
and that party was really fun.
It was.
It looked like it from like where
I mean, both parties have been really fun. It's just like event planning.
It's stressful. Like, yeah. That's its own thing. Right? And I think that speaks more to y'all as artists that your priority is to make art. It's not necessarily to plan events, to like be an accountant. You know, to be doing all these different things, but you, at the end of the day, you kind of have to do that too.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to give a workshop about all that, pro bono.
Learn how to use Excel.
Yes. Something so simple as that, because we love making art, but when it comes to financial, questions, and well, like, how do you do your taxes?
How do you get it, too?
Yeah, and how do you get money? How do you know how to charge for your art? For most of us, Clover, I'm like, sometimes she'll be selling her pieces for like 30, 40 bucks. When I know clearly,
you put more time and effort into that.
She could be sending that shit to like the West Side folks for like triple the amount.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I've seen that, and usually I don't tell people that, but I do buy their art for the cheap.
But I feel like we have this unspoken thing that if we're gonna be vending on the West Side, best believe our prices are gonna change. And if we're selling in the community, damn, like, I might even give you a discount. Like,
I'll trade you this burrito.
Yeah, like, we've done that. We've done that before. Barter with other artists who are venting. All right.
Most of the time now, I don't. Most of my stuff is in for sale.
Oh.
Yeah, like that.
Well, what do you find yourself doing most, like, in terms of imagery, the medium?
I'd say more... I do more letters, I feel, just because I do sign paint, so I find myself, even if I'm not, like, on my free time, I'd, like, just be sketching out a font just so I can know it by
heart.
That's
dope. Do you have a favorite one, like Old English or something, like Futura?
I do have a favorite one, but I don't know the name
of it. It's Times New Roman.
She's super modest, and, like, Clover has honestly been one of the girls that has stuck it out through the end, and never have I ever heard her complain. Like, and it's such a beautiful thing that, like, someone so young is just so willing to skill share without asking anything back. That I'm like, I know we have our group might not be as big anymore, but I know it's like it's solid.
Yeah, I mean, like we were talking about in the beginning, it's almost 2 years that y'all have been around, and you keep doing this work and you're progressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and honestly, it sucks, but organizing with a smaller group is it's much easier. I feel like we're getting more stuff done.
There's less decision makers in the room.
Yeah. I mean, having a big... I think it's as long as we...
Well, we got really bright in here all of a sudden.
Whoa. Yeah. As long as we still open it up to
other keep that folks, original intention, yeah.
Yeah, then it doesn't matter how big our... core collective is, as long as we're still creating the space.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit more about what y'all are doing. So, I mentioned Denim Day with Peace Over Violence. So, like, you give folks a little lowdown on that.
Well, I forgot what day it actually is, but
the 12th, I think.
The 12th
of May.
So already happened.
March.
Yeah, March 12th, I think. Yeah.
No, it was April.
March just happened.
April. Sorry, April 12th.
Isn't today April 12th? No, today's the 13th.
I think it was yesterday.
I didn't even see anything on social media.
Hold on.
Usually, like, when this stuff, like, happens, you know, everybody's, like, sharing something in solidarity. You know, nonprofits usually send out something as well, too, saying we're in support. Mm-hmm. This is why we're doing it. I didn't see it.
So. Maybe I misread it.
We're checking our phones.
Fact-checking.
We are fact-checking.
I can just check on the computer right now, too.
Well, what we've been doing is, like, whoever asked us to, like, support them with, like, we've been helping a lot with, like, posters and just with any march.
Yeah.
So, just, as like, if anybody knows what Denim Day is, it's just, Denim Day is, based on this case that was in Italy that a woman got raped and the judge said she couldn't get raped because she... Her pants were so tight that she had to help the guy.
She was asking for it.
She was asking for it, and she actually, like, helped, you know? And so it's just pretty much saying, like, you could wear whatever, and it's going to be your fault no matter what.
Yeah.
So that's what denim... And it's related to Ni Santas, Ni Putas.
Of course, of course.
So it's just... we were just there to help, and we... Yeah, just whenever anybody asks for help, we're just trying to help out as much as we can.
Is this how it worked out with y'all when you were helping? Well, it's not just helping, supporting... With the March of Our Lives march. Because I saw what you made, and I was like, that's fucking badass.
Yeah, it's the same thing, just help out. Because people get really, like, it goes back to the whole, like, I don't know how to draw, I don't know how to
do this. Oh, that intimidation, like, kind of, like, little shame to it.
Yeah, so it's just trying to help out people, just
like,
make a poster.
Here, like help you out. Okay, so I looked it up. Denim Day 2018, Wednesday, April 25th. So that's... If you're listening to this sometime this week of April the 13th, then what's, like, the 15th or 16th next Monday or something? Either way, if you're listening to this in the first couple of days, then you'll know.
And it's Sexual Violence Awareness Month.
April?
Yes. That's why also I think they did it this month. But yeah, it's been really cool because they also hire self-help graphics. And then it's just, they might just hire us as a collective, or they'll hire us.
Yeah, no, I mean, they have artists. A lot going on. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really cool that we're able to still, you know, reach out to our audience and let them know about what's going on at self-help or in the community.
So, awesome. Well, I mean, we can speak about this in both ways. If I was like me as Eric, hey, like, we're working on this issue, can we get y'all to come and support? How would you facilitate that?
Yeah.
Like literally just asking like that? Or it'd be like, hey, like, I got some extra money. We can pay y'all in food. Like, what would be the best case scenario for y'all? For, like, to have somebody approach you and be like, yo, can you help us with this?
The perfect scenario, I feel, would be, hey, this is, like, an issue that is affecting our community, POC, women.
Oh, so I can't, I mean, trans, obviously, I'm not going to be like, yo, we got to, like, you know, put the underrepresented voices of men out there.
We can work with him, but we're not going to, we would have to word it a certain way. But I think as long as it's a good cause, it's going to help our community, we're willing to do it for free as long as maybe some supplies are being provided.
It's, that it's not totally just like on y'all to make it happen.
It's because it's difficult for us to just, you know, pull paint out of our ass. You know, it's really hard to, because we pay for all of it. And this is through, like,
this is expensive too.
Yeah.
It adds up really quickly when you start getting, like, cardboard, paint, brushes.
I think you have to, like, the bestest way to reach out is just to email us and send us, like, this is what I want to do on this day. Not, like, maybe, like, in a month or two.
Not the day
before.
Be
specific. Not the day before. Like, time. And we would have to check, like, are we available? Because we all work. Mm-hmm. We all have, like, real day jobs. We have day jobs. So we have to check, can we go actually do it? And then, like, can y'all provide supplies? Because I feel a lot of people think we could just, like she said, we're just going to pull paint out of our asses and we're going to be...
Or people think that because we organize out of self-help graphics, that self-help graphics...
will hook you up.
...is hooking us up with paint. And
it's not, no, like...
I wish it was, but...
Everything's getting locked under,
yeah,
key.
Everything.
Those cameras.
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody thinks that we're the ones making all the mess, so we're gonna have to we have to try to be extra clean. So every time we're cleaning, we make sure we post it.
It's like, look, I'm cleaning. You just clean. But I think that also speaks, I mean, because I know a lot of folks who are artists. I wouldn't consider myself an artist. Again, that, like, you know, just those connotations that come with, like you were saying, I don't want to claim something if I don't feel like that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
But knowing enough artists and talking to them and working with them, that is something that, and even like with, through the nonprofit spectrum, you know, artists are always undervalued, but the first chance people get to do something, they're like, let's get so-and-so to make us a flyer, make us a poster, come DJ our fundraiser, donate your art for, you know, our silent auction and shit like that.
Yeah.
But then that appreciation is never returned to the artist in terms of, like, you know, helping them sell, paying them for their work, what they should be paying them. And I've, like, you know, had my own contentions with this because I'm on the broke side and I want to haggle with people like I do everywhere else. But then I'm like, I respect your art and I respect you so much. I'm not going to be like, yo, can you knock off $20?
Yeah.
It's like, what you're asking is what you're going to get.
It's kind of like, I also think about, like, what about, like, the DJ you just paid?
Yeah.
It's an art form, right? To DJ.
Yeah, somebody's got to carry all that equipment.
It's entertainment, right? So what's the difference between, you know, a group of girls showing up to live paint for your event? You think just because...
Oh, you're going to get exposure.
Yeah, exactly. They think they're doing us a favor.
You're
going
to get more Instagram followers because of this.
We don't care. But as long as we have, like, a decent amount of girls that show up to the classes, like, we feel like it's a victory.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, how is it for y'all in terms of, like, individuals? Like, and this is something we were talking about, too, but I guess we can get into it a bit deeper. It's like, for y'all as individuals, like, how did that start for y'all in terms of, like, becoming the artist that you are today? Or, you know, was it like kind of like Clover was saying, you're sketching and you're just like, you know, trying to figure things out? Or was this a specific moment where you're like, this is what I'm gonna do, this is where I'm going?
I That specific moment came to me by accident. I signed up for a class that I didn't know like what it was about.
Is it like in a community center at school?
No, it's at Trade Tech.
Okay.
And so it was two classes. I thought the silk screening class was a prereq for that class, so I took it.
Oh.
And I had fun messing with silk screening.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so then after I finished that, I went on to the other class. And again, I don't know what it really was about, but it ended up being about lettering. And after like a few weeks, I really liked it. I had never been in an art class or just sat down in front of an easel and like sketched all day. So all
right.
I thought it was really cool. And immediately I fell in love with it. So I was there for 2 years. And halfway through the program, I started meeting more people and my mentor, and she just took me from there. She gave me my first job, and from there she would put me out and have me go ask for jobs. And we would drive around. And
all right. What was some of the work you were doing? Were you like going to a store Fridays, like, let me paint your Christmas window? Or?
Yeah. So like if there was a sign that was already like beaten up.
Mm.
Ask to restore it or offer them, like, if their windows were clear, like, you obviously need some signage, like, to new businesses too. If they didn't have any proper signage or if their signage was hurting,
yeah.
I would offer something better.
What were you doing? Because I mean if you go around like East LA, Bo Heights, Northeast LA, there's a lot of that graffiti signage.
Oh yeah, like on the Northeast
yeah.
side. No I was doing brushwork. Like I've done two. Like at the Club Bahia, we.
Oh, that's yeah. Off Sunset.
Yeah. So that one was with spray paint, and
okay.
me and Blossom did the top side of it, and in spray paint, and the palm trees at the bottom too. With,
nice.
With the help of other
I remember
too.
Passing by. I was like, yo, that's like a fresh brand new paint job on the
mm-hmm.
side.
Yeah, and most of it was brushwork. With one shot with enamel paint.
Nice. Awesome. All right, Joan, do you want to share?
I've just been drawing always. And then my senior year in high school, I was a nerd, but I was bad at it.
That's almost like the prototypical like loner thing to do. You're just like in your sketchbook on your own drawing.
So I was a nerd, and I wanted to become an AP scholar.
Oh, wow. That kind of nerd.
Yeah, kind of nerd. So I was already taking, like...
AP classes.
I was taking AP classes, and then I was trying to find another class because I couldn't take AP chemistry because I suck, or biology, or, like, calculus because I never went up to calculus.
the arts and, like, maths never lined
yeah.
up.
So I was like, where can I... And then I was, like, really competing with, like... the top 10 people. I was at the bottom, but I was like, how am I gonna be an AP scholar? Oh, because
wait, so what what is an AP scholar?
An AP scholar is anyone who passes 3 AP tests with the 3 or higher.
A 3 or higher? Like, yeah, 3 out of 5? 3 out of...
No, yeah. Oh, sorry. When you pass an AP test...
I never took AP.
So when you take an AP class, you have to take a test at the end of the year, and if you get a 3 or higher, 3 out of 5, it's you pass it.
Oh, okay.
So, I needed another class.
So, essentially,
like,
you know, 3, from 1 to 5, that's like A, B, C, D. So, like,
yeah,
you
yeah,
pass
yeah.
it to C or higher.
Yeah. You.
Good.
And if you pass 3 tests, you're considered an AP scholar.
Oh, do you get a bumper sticker for your car?
Yeah, you get a certificate.
You get a coupon for Shakey's?
But I wanted to be an AP scholar. Like, I just wanted that, like, extra nerdy shit. So then I was like, what other class can I take? Because I couldn't take those other classes.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to take the AP Spanish and the history.
Okay.
So and I was like, what other one can I pass for sure? And I was like, I could kind of draw. But I had, like, been such a nerd that I forgot about, like, drawing. So then I just went in and marched to, like, the art teacher. And I was like, can I take the AP class? And I had not taken, like, a single class in high school.
Ooh.
And I was just, can I take it? And he just told me, he was like, yeah, sit down and draw. And then when you're done, I'll tell you. So I just sat down and, like, drew shit. And then he's like, all right, you could be in my class. So
okay.
then he just let me be in it. And
do you
then,
remember what you drew?
It was just a figure, like, figure
oh,
drawing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So more around the classical style.
Yeah, he just wanted to make sure that I could, like, draw. Period.
Not a stick figure.
Yeah, and I'm like, what are you doing? So then he just let me be in that class. And ever since, like, through that teacher, he exposed me to, like, he took me to Mocha for the first time ever.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, so it was through him, like, that I got exposed to all that shit.
That's dope. So, yeah. I mean, the only art class I took in high school was traumatizing because it was an older...
Yeah, he was
older. You know, an older teacher. And it's that kind of older where they're, like, they're not really supporting you. They're just kind of yelling at you.
Yeah. No,
and he was stealing your ideas.
I don't know. I didn't have any ideas to steal back then.
Wow. I don't consider it an art class. But the she was a gym teacher, and she was teaching the art class. But I think the only thing, the only thing I learned from her was the cross hatching. That's one thing that I hadn't tried before. And
what?
What's
cross hatching?
Yeah, what is it?
It's like, let's say, like the pound symbol. Yeah,
as the kids would call it, the hashtag.
Just that.
Okay.
Shading with that pattern.
Nice. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I did learn some stuff. Like, in junior high, there was a more supportive teacher. And that's when I was, like, exposed to, like, you know, it's a class project. Everybody had to paint a mural in the school. So, like, that grid system you create where, like, you know, you're mapping everything out and you're figuring out instead of, like, just thinking, wow, I'm gonna paint this whole thing. It's like, no, you take it square by square, one piece at a time.
Yeah. So then I went to college, and then I went to, like, a semester abroad in Europe. So awesome. I went through all these, like, different museums. And then I noticed that it was pretty much the same. It's the whole, like, how are women represented in art? Like, the same narrative. It's only three things. Like, you're either a mother, a virgin, or a whore. And that's pretty much it. And I remember getting upset. Like, I had seen so
especially
many...
Especially in European art.
Yeah, it was just, like, the Virgin Mary holding Jesus. Or there was other paintings of, like, her, like, women getting beheaded for being sluts. Or, like... There's another, like, really classical painting where, like, a woman has sex, and then she's just like, you're fucked. Like, you're trash. Like, get out of here. And it's, like, the first, like, painting is, like, her meeting her man, and the second painting is,
that's
like...
That's just she, a series. Okay.
Yeah, it's a series, and it's three of them, and then it's, the last one's, like, she's sad, because...
I want to say it's, like, Italian Renaissance art. That's what it sounds
so
like.
Boring.
So that just got me pissed off, and that just made me finally decide, because I couldn't decide what my major was going to be, and I just finally decided it was going to be art, because I was tired of seeing women represented as that. And what pissed me off the most was, like, seeing Gauguin. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Gauguin.
Shout out to Gauguin. No.
Well, I think people are. Everybody's familiar with, like, these paintings of these brown women in really bright colors. Like, look it up. It's, like, they're beautiful paintings. Like, the most beautiful paintings you ever
seen.
Yeah,
like, stylistically and technically.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
But then you see here the backstory. It's, like, this white old man went to, I forgot what island it was, and he was literally having sex with all these, like, underage girls. So it's pretty much all these, like, nudes are, like, underage girls. Yeah.
I'm sure they don't have that in their, like, little
description. No, I'm sure they don't. So it's just, like, that even got me to finally say, like, we need women to actually tell their own story. So that's how I just finally decided to, like, make art my major.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just...
Wow.
Was there a specific, like, focus to your art? Was it, like, digital, multimedia,
acrylics? People say just... For me, it's, like, surrealist paintings.
Okay. That's, like, dope, by the way.
Yeah. But it's just, like... It kind of looks like trash, because I like using just materials.
Well, if you're uncultured, it would look like trash.
I just like using found materials, because also what I've heard, like, throughout school was, like, even this girl in high school told me, she's like, I really like to draw, but only rich white people get to do it, because that's the only people who have money to do it. And that just, like, breaks their heart, because it's just, like, just because you're... And it goes back to the whole gentrification thing and art in our hoods. Like, only white people deserve art.
To be
and
up
that
on walls
is not,
and
yeah.
stuff like that.
It's like, we don't deserve, like, to have galleries. They shouldn't be here and all this crap. But in reality, it's just, like, yes, we do. Like, we deserve everything. So,
Under our terms, though.
Yes, under our terms, exactly. But... We need our voices heard. We need our stories told. Like, where is our... Like, only people know Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo. And those people had money, too.
Yeah.
It's like, where's the story of the poor people? So then, like, I didn't have any money because my dad was just like, I'm going to help you pay for school, but then he found out what it was, and he's like, nah, you figure that shit out.
He's like, you're gonna be a doctora.
He's like,
that's like every parent's worst nightmare, to be an artist or a musician.
I mean, I had that experience with my parents, because they're like, what are you going to school for? Periodismo? Alright.
So yeah, I just use whatever I have. That was my like model, to use whatever I could find, and then even if it's not going to be archival, because that's like such a big thing in the museum world. Yeah. Like, it has to be archival. It has to survive forever.
Be in some cabinet or something.
Yeah, so I'm just like, whatever is there. And if it's beautiful, it's going to be there. Like,
oh, and you've made amazing works. I think some folks might have come across it. I think the last two or three years of Day of the Dead, when it's been at in part with Self-Help Graphics at Grand Park, where you've done those installations where they have the community altars. Talk to folks a little about that, because I know what they are, but I don't think folks are.
Yeah, so I started doing the altars with the Ovarian Cycles.
Okay.
So this is like my, actually like my fourth, fifth year actually doing them. And then since I left the Ovarian Cycles, I still wanted to keep making them. So I asked Self-Help, can I as an artist by myself just make my own altar? And they said yes. And so I wanted to pick something that was related to my neighborhood, which is South LA, which is the Blue Line. And then
South Central.
South Central.
Or you can say
South
Sola.
Central, South LA. Sola. No! That's the worst. disgusting. No. So yeah, something that just related to, that was related to my neighborhood. So then we're actually hanging out at Self-Help, and then this one artist came. I don't know if you remember, he came up to us, and then you know him, and he was telling how his wife had killed herself on the Blue Line. And he was
This is a while back, because I remember that day, I was taking the train to work, and I was like, fucking Metro with their bullshit and their delays, and it wasn't until I got to work and I started checking Twitter that I was like, holy shit, somebody like jumped, it was the Firestone station, right?
I don't know.
What the Florence, it was the ones
that,
the one that was like on the super elevated platforms.
That's the other thing. Like, I thought it was like, this shit never happens.
Yeah.
Like, I just like, I was just really sad by his story, because he told me, he's like, I'm just sad that, he wasn't sad that she had killed herself. He was sad that how she had done it. Like, she, her body was like literally destroyed. And
that was a very high.
Yeah. So then I just went home and I started looking up like deaths, and I just realized like, the Metro, the Blue Line, is one of the most dangerous, like, fastest railroad on the nation. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Huh. Because I didn't think it was that fast.
No, because it's the most dangerous above ground. Sorry. Above
ground. Okay. Because I was like, I don't think it's about speed. Yeah. Well, Amtrak's different. I mean, because it's not running through communities the way Metro is. Yeah.
So then I just also looked up that during the recession, a lot of people were killing themselves as well. So then, there was like a whole correlation of like,
this is like 2008-ish, 9-ish. Yeah.
But if you walk by the Metro, you can see that there's no safety. There's nothing.
Hell no.
But I seen that. I think they're doing improvements now, but I don't know how that's going to work. They put a little stop thing for people, but that's not going to stop anyone.
It's a little too late. Like, the Blue Line's been around for such a long time, and all of a sudden you find the money to do this kind of stuff? Nah, Metro.
To prioritize,
So for the
community that's underrepresented.
For the past 2 years, I've just been dedicating it to them. And then the last year, I dedicated it to a man who, they say that it was an accident, but it's pretty much, I don't know, it's Cesar Rodriguez.
I would take his word over the police.
Yeah, so pretty much, like, the story is that he was running away from the cops because he didn't pay fare. And then, I don't know what happened, that he literally got smashed by the Metro.
Mm-hmm.
So then the family's still looking to, they're still fighting for the body cam, and they still haven't gotten it. So then it's just,
this is just trying to find justice and closure at this point. Like, what happened?
So I just been trying to use the altars as a, like, trying to put a spotlight on injustices in like South LA, and especially through Metro, because it's just like so many people use it, and the Blue Line's like the crappiest one.
Oh,
you could buy a puppy, a shot of vodka,
a lot of things at the Blue Line,
and
you can get a show.
Tape.
You can be at
an
MMA.
You can make a mixtape,
headphones and chocolate.
Yes.
You can buy anything.
I mean,
you can find a rapper there. Live music.
That's a badge. You earn your Blue Line badge.
Yes.
It's not given away.
Mm-mm.
So through me, it's not just making like surrealist crap or surrealist art. It's also putting a spotlight on actual stories and things that happen in our community.
Yeah.
So.
And it's amazing. I mean, I think I forget which one it's for, but I remember, and you were kind of just hearing this on a personal level, leading up to building the altar, you were collecting a bunch of 40-ounce bottles.
Oh, yeah. Well, I collected so many 40-ounce bottles.
I'm assuming you weren't just, like, pounding these on your own.
Kind of. But also,
No comment.
But also, I wanted to touch on the... Because there's so many liquor stores in our neighborhoods.
Of course. There's
less... I feel less liquor stores in East L.A. than there are in South L.A. And they closed earlier just by personal research.
Oh, I mean, there's one here.
I know this. On
First and Soto. That's the one where you can buy stuff in the later hours, but you have to go through the gate.
Yep. Oh, my God. And you got to be quick about it because that...
They get mad.
And that corner is popping all the time.
Yeah.
There's something going on.
Yeah,
I mean, you would think it'd be safer, quote-unquote, because Metro is right across the street.
No. Folks have gotten killed at the Gold Line or near it.
Yeah.
So I'm just also trying to put, like... let people see that there's addiction in our communities and that it affects, like, suicides. And all these people are trying to, like, heal themselves and there's, like, nothing. So they're trying to... self-medicate.
Maybe it's too early, but will you be working on one this year, 2018?
Yeah, and then also the thing is, like, I'm gonna help the family, so they're gonna have their own altar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have to, I have to talk to them, because they told me that they wanted to make one, so I don't know if they want me to make it for them, or if they wanna help me make it, and I'm sure they're gonna wanna help. So
yeah,
that's going to be like a collaboration too. So that's going to be...
Dope.
But then I also want to make another one. So that's going to be...
you kind of keep that tradition you've been going.
Yeah. So we're going to see how that goes.
Hopefully it works out and you get two out of this.
Yeah. But this time I want to make it more obvious about Metro and about... Like last time I didn't have a chance, but I want to make like this huge portrait of him and maybe make a huge like M.
That M's not hard to do.
No.
It's like
and
a
then...
stencil.
And also, like, put, like, focus back on his case, like, LAPD, like, police
brutality.
At this
point, people forgot about it, yeah.
Yeah, so just trying to get, like, justice for that mom. Because I had to talk to the mom, and it was really...
It's hard.
It was hard. And then it was, like, it was really sad talking to his sister, and then she told me that he always used to hang out at Grand Park.
Oh, damn.
So it was just that, like, you could feel his presence right there. And then... And then I even asked them if I could put a 40, because my mom's like, how dare you put a 40? They might not
you
like it.
You didn't know him like that?
So I had asked the family if it was okay, and then they were fine. They're like, yeah, he drank. But also, like, to point out that, you know, you don't have to be a saint in order for your life to mean, or, like, to matter. Like, you could still, like, be, like, you know, you could still mess around. Yeah, you can still mess around. It doesn't mean that your life's not worth it, like... anything. So that's good that they allowed me to do that,
because that's the first... I fucking hate the internet for this. That's the first shit, like, everybody comes back at you with, like, he shouldn't have been doing that. If he was doing this, then he wouldn't have that.
Yeah.
I was like, get the fuck out of here with that stupid ass shit.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout, Grand Park, 2018, Day of the Dead.
Yes.
You know, Joan, among other community organizations, other individuals, are gonna have amazing altars. If you, for some reason, if you've never been to Day of the Dead at Grand Park, then you must be really new to this city.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why you're listening to this show.
Yeah.
But what about you, Andy? What was, like, your experience with the arts? Was it gradual? Did you have an aha moment?
My coloring books, I took them too serious.
Okay. You were inside the lines?
I would get pissed off at my classmates because they wouldn't use the colors properly. So I thought, I'm
in
like,
terms
no.
of, like, you're just, like, filling in.
Yeah, I was, like, grinding my crayons. I'm like, they gotta look, like, vivid. They gotta look bright.
All right.
But that was my first hint. And then I kind of was, like, I don't know how to draw. I don't, you know, so I kind of, like, I knew I was always an artistic person, but it wasn't until high school, eighth grade... a history class, I sat next to this guy named Jaime Perales. He ended up being, like, this really cool tattoo artist. I would always look at him instead of paying attention to my teacher.
You looking at him as in, like...
Like, I was looking at what he was doing.
Right.
No, not that. He got cuter later, and then I was like, hey,
wait.
Up. I snooze hard.
What high school was this? You didn't have to say Franklin High School.
Franklin. I grew up in Highland Park. So yeah, I would look at his sketches and I would just be mesmerized. And of course, I flunked that class, but I got way better at drawing. He would draw demons and
and
cute stuff.
Cute stuff, you know.
Hot Topic goth.
So he was like, yeah, math from my own heart. I was like, dang. So after that, I kind of kept on going. I took a break. And then, of course, another man came into my life. And that
fucking
guy.
Men.
Fucking men. But this, honestly, I'm not going to lie. I think my relationship with him was like the best and the only. And I think maybe the last relationship I'll ever have. Because he somehow knew some people who did anti-war peace political posters. It was a collective call, Yo, What Happened to Peace? So,
oh, yeah, I remember that. I have a Chaz shirt.
Yeah.
From those shows.
Oh, my God. So it was a traveling, for those who don't know.
Yeah,
what
John Carr was one of the folks that helped put that together.
Yeah, and Karen Fiorito was the master printer who later became my...
She does Buddha Press?
Yeah. Buddha Cat Press. She, after I broke up with my ex, she's like, you don't need that guy. Like,
men are trash.
Yeah, but if it weren't for him, honestly, he's gonna be like, haha. Because he would always say that. You wouldn't be nothing if it weren't for me.
I was like, okay, whatever.
But I proved myself with the other artists that I kind of came in contact through that collective, and it was mostly women. Like, I met Fabiana Rodriguez,
of course,
and she's badass. Became like, you know, someone I look up to.
Low key, she's my boss.
Oh, I heard.
It's not public. But I'm not hiding it either. So
yeah, so that was like, damn, Melly Cervantes.
So many folks.
So many awesome women of color that I'm like, these white people know about these awesome brown women. I was so, like, mesmerized. And so Karen Fiorito ended up becoming my master printer, teacher, mentor. She actually let me live inside the studio with her. So it's a live-in workspace back when the Arts District was still Arts District.
This is the early 2000s, yeah.
Yeah, when there was actually, you know, artists living in there. In the arts complex. So yeah, I became more involved with being involved with the poster making, screen printing. But I remember slightly before that, actually, I had picked up a book called Hasta la Victoria Stencil. So it was a compilation of street art, specifically stencils in Buenos Aires.
Oh, okay.
And they were all like political, and I picked it up and I read that this was one of the only mediums that was kind of for low-class, middle-class folks, because you honestly just required a cardboard, a knife...
It didn't take a lot.
...and a spray paint, and bam, your streets were your galleries, and you were talking, you know, shit about the government, talking about what needed to be said, and... So it was a beautiful kind of like connection that I had it, and I thought, well, printing is just a more sophisticated version
of it.
There's
more steps to it, yeah.
Yeah, there's more steps to it. God. And I get choked up because it's like, there's so many steps to screen printing people don't understand.
It's not just about the squeegee and the paint.
It's not. You don't just press a button and it sucks. No. Every color.
Well, I mean, like these high-end companies, that's literally what you do, but yeah.
So after that, I became, you know, more involved in the arts, was able to meet, like, prolific artists. Y yo aquí una paisita, I was like, oh my God, I was too shy to ask questions.
Mm.
So that's the only thing I regret about that time.
You didn't take more advantage of it.
Yeah, not asking more questions.
Learning,
or not feeling
connecting,
like,
networking.
Not feeling like I earned my spot, you know, in a white dominant scene. But
no, I mean, I think a lot of folks could understand that wherever, you know, life took us and whatever road we're on, there's always that, you know, point of contention where we're like, we don't value our worth. Maybe we're going through something. I mean, I had those moments where I was like, I didn't call myself a writer. I'm just like a metiche doing whatever I do. And yeah. Now here we are, like, all these years later, and I'm still a Metiche.
Yeah, it took me a couple years to open up. It took me a couple years to open up to actually say that I'm an artist. I would always feel weird, but...
And yeah. Now you're just like, yeah, get out of my way.
Like, I'm an artist, fuck you.
Like, give me that,
Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that. If folks, you know, are listening and they're like... Where, like, I want to see what they're doing, like, plug it in, like, where can folks find you, see your stuff, and if eventually you do have something you want to sell.
Well, I mean, I do sell some of my stuff, but half the time I don't because I'm attached to it, and I'm like, well... Okay.
That's understandable, yeah. That's your art.
But, I mean, on the street, I mean, you'll probably see me on a ladder, on a scaffold.
Oh, right. I'm painting that window sign.
Or in the middle of the night.
Well, I'm not out that late, so I get tired around. These days. What about you, Joan? Where can folks find you?
Well, you can find us in Nisantas on Instagram. And then I also have my Baker Tell, so it's Joan Zeta.
Oh, I didn't know you had your own store.
Yes.
So
it has only a couple items, but they're still there. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Nice. Sandy, you got anywhere?
I'm like sleeping on Big Cartel, but you can find me on Instagram, Andy Soch.
I have just hit you up.
Just hit me, DM me. Slip into my DMs. I'll respond. It might take me a while to get your stuff. Just kidding. No, I'll send you your stuff right away.
All
right. I promise.
Okay, and then I'm looking at my notes because, like, we were talking about this, and I was like, I totally slept on this. So kind of going back a little bit, back to that denim date conversation about y'all, what we're doing, what the day's about, how you were supporting. I wanted to bring this up because if y'all are listening to this, it's at @ni_santas, and you can look for it. So in the comment section, you got a mansplainer. Mm-hmm. So, like, why don't you give folks a little, like, breakdown of the situation?
Let me set it up. This was Joan's picture. Well, this was Joan's piece, and it said,
teach boys not to rape.
Mm-hmm. It was a stencil. Yeah.
It was a stencil. And it's not like an original idea. Like, it's not like, I seen it, and I was like, what, like, what's a good one to put?
Yeah.
And so I did that one, and then
I should bring it up.
Yeah. I posted without her knowing, and all of a sudden it got all kinds of reactions. Most of the time people will comment really nice things.
They're very
supportive for the most part, and it's always women being supportive. But then, of course, the first negative, real negative comment that we got was from a man.
Right, I brought this up here.
This man, from what I understand.
Let me look this up. Okay. That's the person's handle. Nob_lighting. And it's in that comment thread. This message is wrong. I've never heard of a boy raping. I've heard of teenagers and adults raping. Maybe the message should be directed at those two groups. Just saying, as a parent, I'd rather teach my kid to respect other people's space and to never invade it. And then there's everybody just going off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's understandable. I mean, you know, coming from the CIS heterogender perspective, you know, I've had my episodes of, like, doing that kind of stupid ass shit because at one point I wasn't as quote unquote woke as I am now. And even to this day, I'm not that woke. I still read theory. I'm still, like, you know, learning from the women that are in my life, you know, not necessarily, you know, going to them and be like, Joan, teach me how not to be like a fucking asshole. Teach me how to be a feminist and shit like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, being and understanding that shit is fucking exhausting for y'all to constantly be dealing with it. And then to be expected to be, like, educating and teaching other people not to do that shit. I mean, I have my own brushes with that kind of experience, but not at the same level of y'all in terms of, like, what we're talking about in terms of society, our culture, our communities, and how all that shit connects together. So, I mean, that shit's tiring.
Yeah, definitely. It's already bad. It's hard enough that every single issue we're kind of forced to take a stand on.
Hmm.
And having people comment, like I said, most of the time it's positive stuff. So when it's negative, we have to kind of take a step back.
Example.
Yeah, and we can't just be like, fuck you, you know, we're not here to educate you or to teach about what we're about. Obviously, he took it very literal, and...
I mean, that speaks more to him, because his profile picture, he's wearing the Guy Fawkes mask. He thinks, like, he's an anonymous or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah. He's been very supportive, but that was, like, I don't know. I think, specifically for that day, I'm like, where are y'all at? Where are y'all men at? You know, you guys are always complaining that we don't open up the spaces for men. But when it comes to something like that where anybody can show up, like, there's hardly any men. And those spaces should be dominated by men.
Yeah.
So I'm a little confused as to how the way most men kind of, like, take approach on something they don't really like. Joan handled it well, and there was other men that were very supportive.
If you look at the thread,
I just waited till everyone, like, defended me until, because I don't like, it's exhausting trying to, like, spell check, like, grammar, because if you, like, fuck up on those, like, all your arguments are, like, gone, like, you're an idiot who doesn't even know how to put a period. So I was just like, I don't want to worry about grammar right now.
Let me, like, write this thesis statement over
there. Yeah, because that's what they want. And I was just like, we had, like, a conversation about sexual violence, and I was just like, that was, like, super, like, exhausting.
Shit.
And now you want me to, like, reply, because she was like, reply, and I was just like, just let it, like, die out, or, like, someone come up with something super clever. But it's just, like, it's understandable. Like, I work with children too, and it's really hard to imagine that those little cute kids one day are gonna hurt someone. But it does happen. Like,
I mean, it's learned. Like, they see it directly from their family, from their parents, from society, from television. I mean, that shit, I literally spent a good chunk of my time trying to fucking deep brainwash my fucking psyche of, like, all the shit that I've been so, you know, accepting of. Like, I go into this a lot because, you know, on my own personal time, I was like, fuck, I really like this movie. And then I read, like, an essay about it from, like, a different kind of perspective, usually, obviously, from a woman. And I'm like, fuck, that movie sucks.
It's like, that movie was totally, like, rapey.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of people have a problem with the word rapey, but it's just like, see, you're trying to soften it up. So, like, to me, I was just trying to, I don't know, I just want people to see, like, you have to change your kids yourself. Because a lot of parents don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't want to think about, like, their kids having sex. They don't want to think about any of that stuff. But it's like, you're the parent, and they're going to think somebody else is going to teach them, like, I'm going to send it to school, and the school's going to teach them some morals. And it's just like, that's not what a school is for.
I don't know what school they're going to.
Yeah, so then,
not at least.
so I just had to look up an article and just, like, read this, and
you know, I've resorted to doing
you
that.
Did?
No, like, anytime especially I mean not to put him on blast, but with my cousin, I that's family, so I'm taking it upon myself, like, yo, dude, don't be saying shit like that, don't be this or that, like, you know, chipping away at him, because he'll be like, oh, that shit's gay, or, like, other stupid shit like that. I was like, no, don't do that.
Some of them are straight up just, like, stupid. Saying,
they are.
Yeah.
Say, oh, this is some sexist.
Reverse sexism.
Yeah. I'm like, how can I even reply to that?
It's like a meme. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that's the problem. That's the society we grow in. That's, you know, as men, I can speak for men since I am one, you know, everything's given to us. Society is all about us. You know, we were talking about the fucking wage gaps in terms of, like, white male men get paid most out of everybody, and then it's just, like, going down the ladder from there.
Yeah.
And it's obviously that's not gonna change anytime soon, but you know, as individuals, that's what I do, like, with my extended family, with friends. I'm like, yo, that's not cool. Checking myself when I do that shit.
Yeah.
Even sometimes, though, I'm like, I'm playing it off as, like, no, that's supposed to be funny, but is it really funny? No, I don't think it's funny. So
yeah,
it's not. Can I share something? It's a little long-winded, but, like, this is, like, one of my, like, kind of moments, because, so this was, like, a couple of years ago. So Dewey, shout out to Dewey, I remember he made a Princess Leia costume, like, when, because he has long hair, so he made, like, the Princess Leia buns, and then he made, like, his own homemade Princess Leia costume. It wasn't super intricate, you know, or anything like that. But if you saw it, you'd be like, oh, that's Princess Leia. Mm-hmm. So I was going to go to a comic book convention. I think it's like 2014, 15, down in Anaheim. And I hit up Dewey. He's like, yo, Dewey, you still got that Princess Leia costume? Like, can I borrow it? Because I still have, like, waist-long hair. Uh-huh. So I was like, yo, I'm going to go to this comic book convention. And he called himself Princess Fea. Oh. So I'm like, yo, I'm gearing up. I'm, like, Googling, how do you make Princess Leia buns? Turns out you just get a sock and roll it. you know, you comb your hair, you get it right. And I went to the comic book convention dressed as Princess Leia. And as you can tell, you know, I'm not a very effeminate looking man. So, you know, my mentality going into, and if you're, you know, more familiar with comic books and comic book conventions, you understand that's part of like what's going on there. People are, you know, some folks are doing that professionally, like movie grade props and costumes and shit, and they look badass. Mm-hmm. And part of the fun for me going to these conventions is like, yo, that's so-and-so, let me take a picture with you, that's costumes awesome, mm-hmm. you know, great job, next, you know, whoever person I spot, like a Power Ranger or something. So that was my first time, you know, cosplaying like that, and I was like, yeah, you know, I was eating at IHOP, and it's like, this little kid comes up to me, he's like, can I take a picture with you? Oh. It's like, yeah, let me put down my pancake. So then I go to the show, you know, I'm doing my thing, I'm shopping, whatever, and as I'm walking the show floor, that's when, like, all the fucking stupid ass men are basically catcalling me the entire time. And at that moment, I was like, yeah, Princess Leia, pay attention to me. Yeah, you know, I look sexy. And
Princess Leia.
Yeah. So at that moment, as it's happening in the context of the comic book convention, I was like, yeah, that's funny. All these guys catcalling me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, I get it. It's a joke. Ha ha. Guy cross-dressing and all this other stuff. And then it wasn't until like, maybe like a week or two later, then I was like, holy shit, what did I just go through? And then I started processing all of that, and like I talked to a few friends about it, and I was like, what the fuck, this is what you do. Well, I keep shaking the table. This is what women go through on a daily basis. You're like fucking getting catcalled, and that to me was like that, like I said, like that skrr moment. Mm-hmm. Of like, holy fucking shit.
You got a little taste of what it feels like.
But I mean, and at the time I was like, oh, this is funny. But then it's not until like,
yeah,
me puse las pilas, that I was like, fucking shit.
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, at that point I was like, maybe more men should dress up as Princess Leia and do this.
Yes. Have your Princess Leia.
Because, you know, I went to a couple of Halloween parties too with it. And it's like, yeah, Eric's funny. He's dressing up as Princess Leia.
Oh,
and I'm like, yeah, it is funny, but then I'm like, shit. So
you don't know what I've been through.
No, I have no idea.
You know my costume. Shit.
I don't know shit. So, I mean, I'm just like, fuck. But yeah, that was a couple of years ago. I'm still learning from that experience, still decolonizing my mind, all this shit, and at this point, it's never gonna end.
Yeah,
it's gonna be continuous. And if for some reason I ever have offspring, that's, you know, that's going to be the next chapter where,
yeah,
I'm going to be teaching my, well, I don't even want to say that because I don't have kids.
If you did, you know, that, yeah, definitely. Same here.
I like having free time and money.
No, but somebody's put it like really good. Like, nobody was born woke, but you like, you now you know, that's better, right. And now you have a responsibility to like learn, read some articles. Like, don't be so fucking. The thing that pisses me off the most is like they're stubborn. Like,
oh,
no, I'm right. Like that guy, I wrote him that thing. Like, yeah, nobody. Like, that's what I was talking about. Like, read this article, and he's like, and he wrote back, and I was just like, if you want the final word, have it. Like, it is not my job, it is not our job to like fucking change your mind. But yeah, it's just like, I think the stubbornness is when you're done, like, because you get tired of like teaching people or like holding their hand and like, don't do that. And
yeah, so that's not like your responsibility, that's nobody's, yeah, responsibility, so but their own.
It's exhausting.
Like, can we just make an agreement that we won't reply? Like, I feel like
no, I don't know. I feel like most people reply anyways.
That's true. I mean, on that comment, there are other folks are like, yo, shut up, you're wrong, this is why. Especially, yeah, and it needs to come from other men and be like, yo, dude, yeah, no, bruh,
yeah,
don't, nah, you're, mm-hmm, wrong, shut up. So, but all
then,
right.
Then it's a wild place.
It is. Yeah. I'm fucking amazed and like mortified by it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're already like an hour and some change into this. Nis Santas, what's coming up? What is the future hold? Summer's coming. I know it's gonna be fucking hot as fuck this summer.
Yeah. Usually during the summer, there's more women that are available to, you know, help conduct the workshops or like come out. So we usually have maybe two workshops a month. Right now, we're trying to commit to just one and make it really good. We've been inviting like different artists to host.
Okay.
The last workshop we had was Leia. She's daughter.
Oh, that gack, homemade
slime.
Gack. I
the
call
slime.
It gack because I grew up with that shit. The slime.
Yeah, the slime. I remember getting them from vending machines.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to have Leia, who is 10 years old, mm-hmm. daughter of Marianne, who was also in ovarian cycles with us, and who's now part of Chulita Vino Club, which is really cool how she's doing her own thing too.
I was going to say, world famous DJ.
Well, she's in Chicago right now doing that.
Shout out to Kemade. She's always been supporting. She's always DJed.
That's right.
Doesn't ask for money. Well, now she does.
Well, she's getting started. She DJed my birthday party for a reason.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, she's a solid mujer, and her daughter is just as amazing as her. So we were kind of joking around, saying like, "Hey, Leah, you should conduct a workshop." And she was like, "I'm down, yeah." So she had a whole room full of like people, and she was teaching them. She went live on Instagram.
Damn.
She handled it so great. So that was the last one, to kind of empower also the young girls, kind
of
let them know like they can do it as well. I mean, look at YouTube. There's like kids like that are like 8 years old doing all kinds of and I'm like, where the
no I don't say that in bad
like, and I'm like, where was that when
yeah,
I was eight?
Well, we didn't
know?
Have YouTube.
Yeah, we did.
Like, I was born in the wrong decade.
Yeah.
No, because I was watching the fucking clip of that yodeling white kid.
Oh yeah.
I was like, yo man, I don't want to hate on the kid, but I do.
Yeah,
so we just leave it at that.
Yeah. So we had her. We had Shizu Salamando, who was another. She's
fucking amazing.
She has hosted two workshops with us. It's really cool. And of course, you know, they're doing it for free. They're not getting paid.
Yeah. They believe in like what y'all are doing in the
yeah,
work.
Yeah. If we can compensate them, then we will. So we found like little tricks to kind of compensate them
gotcha.
Too. Also with the help of some
give them exposure.
Yeah. 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 Put you on her Instagram.
It'll make you famous.
No, but it's like, it feels really good for her to just be like, I'm down.
Yeah.
And not ask how much you're going to pay me. Like, to me, that's, I want to work with people like that. And I think the next workshop, I think might be, we're thinking of getting a female graffiti artist. Clover, she has hosted some of our graffiti classes. But all right. We also kind of want to open up to other mujeres that are willing to skill share with us.
That's kind of what I was going to get to in terms of opportunities for other folks that are, you know, women identified. Obviously, let's just say not men.
Yeah, I'm down to clear it up. Like, we are here for women of color,
mm-hmm.
trans, queer, gender non-conforming folks.
Listen to them all.
Yeah.
Basically, just don't be a heterosexual man.
Yeah.
A cis man.
And don't take offense to that either. We got plenty of other spaces we can go to.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe we'll open it up later.
Or like you just gave the example of Denim Day.
Yeah, exactly. We'll work with other organizations that will open it up to all kinds.
This is an opportunity not only for you to come and, you know, be part of it and create some art,
yeah.
but with the intentional purpose of like, yo, man, there's a big reason why we invited you here. Yeah. Message.
Yeah. And I think, like, I might even, like, want to say that maybe down the line that we will have men who would want to kind of give up their time to teach us other stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
And not have this mansplaining
obviously,
attitude about it.
Not prioritizing them,
yeah.
but yeah.
Not prioritizing, but I feel like if you want to help, Skillshare with us.
Start by giving us money.
Yeah, or that too. Yeah.
So if anybody wants to be involved, participate... Well, no, obviously, number one, just be on the lookout on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. But if they want to, like, be more...
If they want to be more involved, I would say show up to the workshops. Say that you're a little bit more interested. And
like, let it be known.
Yeah, let it be known that you want to be part of the core collective, and we'll take it from there.
Okay. You know, they're like, I was going to make a joke about jumping somebody in. No violence here.
Yeah, we gotta figure out our initiation ritual.
Everybody gets a tattoo.
Yeah.
But is there anything else you want to let folks know? Anything that's coming up? Anything you want to just get off your chest? You don't have to if you don't want to. It's fine.
No, I just wanted to say that the reason why we participate in this poster making, like, a lot of people talk shit about, like, why are you involved with, like, the against violence march, like, because a lot of people are like, oh, those are white marches.
Did y'all get some flack for, like, the women's
march? No, we didn't. No, but we stopped going to the first, we didn't go this year.
You went to the first one in
Yalaika? We went to the first one, we didn't go to the second one. But we go to those places because we want to be present and we want to take up space.
Of course.
And then we check it out, and if it's just, like, total, like, Coachella Fest, then it's, like, we're not going to come back, you know? Sorry. Because that's what it's turning into, but...
Wait, y'all were at, what was it that show?
The firm had one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we showed up, Joan and I, and Dahlia, another, and Dewey, we showed up, and
well,
we
y'all saw me crossing the street when y'all were leaving.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah, you showed up late.
No, we went to the restroom.
Right. Nobody was leaving anywhere.
No.
But we ran into each other.
Yes.
But I was going to say, what was that show? That was the Long Beach Tropa or something?
Tropicalia.
Y'all were there, right?
Yeah, we were
there. Yeah. Was that, would you feel that was kind of like that kind of like Coachella-like e-space?
You know what? Oh. I wanted to be part of Tropicalia because it was, most of the lineup was POC folks.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I feel like we had to support somehow. And Chulita Vinyl Club was also there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, damn, what an eclectic lineup. Like, we have to be
somehow.
Norte,
a bunch of other folks.
Yeah, so we're like, hell yeah, we'll promote this, you know? And get a free ticket.
Yeah. So those tickets weren't cheap.
They weren't cheap, so, like, I mean, I feel like we were going to support it somehow, you know?
No, that's part of networking, getting your name out there, yeah. Letting folks know what you're about.
It's awesome.
It's a big-ass stage.
I know. It's a great opportunity. And it literally felt like we were, like, at some sort of reunion. Everybody was there.
Yeah,
I wasn't there.
Oh, whatever.
It was fun.
That's not what I heard. Every people
was good.
Well, everybody else was just talking shit that there wasn't enough free tacos and like all this.
Oh, I got full. You need to get there early. If you didn't get there on time when it started, I'm sorry.
I saw because I was like, yo, there's only free tacos for an hour and there's samplers. I was like, damn.
Did you see those memes that they were? Oh my god, they were great.
All right, so yeah, hit them up at @ni_Santas. You know, let them know what's up. Show up to the workshops, but don't be a man.
The email?
And show up.
Yeah.
I think the email's on the bio on Instagram.
No.
The email is...
Yeah, it's better if you email us.
Okay.
It's called... It's ni.santas323@gmail.
I have a number email too, so...
Yeah. So we are also trying to... not only be self-sustainable as a collective, but self-sustain ourselves as artists.
As individuals, yeah.
Yeah, so we're getting a little bit more comfortable with not feeling shame for wanting to get paid for what we do.
Nope.
So if you want to invite us to do live printing for your school, for your event.
Y'all were at the Getty not too long ago, right?
We went to the last place we were at some elementary school, which was... I kind of want to like talk about it. It was so frustrating. It was...
Because of LAUSD? Or?
No, because it was in a really good neighborhood and they didn't want to pay us. They thought what we were charging was too much.
Really?
What we were charging was under $1,000. And if you want anybody to come out to live print for you, 2 G's. 3 G's at least.
That's a lot of equipment.
But they saw 3 brown girls. I got all like, it's because we're brown and we're young. But it honestly felt like that. Like, how do you not know?
So what were they saying? Like, we don't want to pay you? Like, you got exposure or something?
No, they're like, this is too much. Our budget was only like
okay.
A couple $100.
All right.
I'm like, you wanted us to print for 500 kids for how many hours? anyway, it was just one of those moments where, like, why are we having to bite our tongue in order for us to get paid?
Yeah.
Because we want to still remain professional, but at the same time, if you don't have the money...
Say so up front. Don't
yeah, tell us what... That's a good idea. If you want to have us over to live print or do anything, tell us your budget, and then we'll go from there.
It's like, all right, that much? We'll give you an hour. But then it's going to take you an hour to get there, so...
Yeah. We'll work with you, especially if it's, like, in the community.
For sure, for sure. But, you know, if you want them to go out to the west side, that's not going to be cheap.
Mm-mm. We know you got money. Quit acting cheap. Pharrell's kid was at this school.
Really?
What?
Come on,
mm-hmm.
man.
Did he take a picture with him?
No.
Damn.
I was too...
Such is the life...
I was too busy doing my job.
...of an artist. But... Thank y'all for coming, giving me the time. I know this was for free, but you're getting exposure.
No, you. We love talking to you. Thank you. And we love Espacio. We always come here.
Yes.
They had us at their last show. It was Eres Poderosa.
Mm-hmm.
So our collective had, we all had a piece in it.
Nice. I remember yours was the sign you made.
The sign I did for the Women's March last year. It was Undocumented Mujer.
Yeah, I love that piece. So,
and our art is up right now, so I'll help too.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the...
For the Mujeres de Maíz.
Yes.
So go check it out.
Yeah, go check it out.
So keep an eye on them on the Instagram. If you're serious about getting at them, that email one more time.
ni.santas323@gmail.com.
That's right. So y'all know what to do. This has been Orale Bo Heights, and we'll see y'all next time. And hopefully this gets recorded this whole time.
Yeah.